إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن انتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praises are due to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the world. We praise Him, we thank Him, we seek for His help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the evil consequences of our wrongdoings. We bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is His servant and messenger. May His peace and blessings be upon Him, His apostles, and the believers who take the right path till the day of resurrection. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy grant us all the privilege of being among them. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, today being the 23rd day of Ramadan, the year 1443, we shall proceed from where we stopped last week, still within Surah Ali Imran, verse 104, the saying of Allah, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه فأما الذين اسودت وجوههم أكفرتم بعد إيمانكم فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون وأما الذين ابيضت وجوههم ففي رحمة الله هم فيها خالدون تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And let there be among you ummah, a nation, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, who invite to that which is good, the word خَيْر is an umbrella word that comprises كُلُّ مَا يُقَرِّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَيُبْعِدُ مِنْ سَخْطِهِ. Anything, everything that brings someone close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and distance someone far away from the anger of Allah. is Al-Khayr. Inviting people to that which is good. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And enjoining people to engage in that which is good. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And discouraging them from engaging in that which is wrong. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, and those are the successful. It is those who are going to engage in this. That is, it is compulsory by virtue of this verse, because it is a command from Allah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. Let there be amongst you a nation, that is a group of people who are going to shoulder the responsibility of inviting people to righteousness. There is no ummah that can survive without a group of people doing this. Call them scholars, call them clergy, call them preachers. Just imagine that there are no preachers today. I doubt if there has ever been a time where we have prevalence of preachers in the history of mankind like we have today. Abundance of preachers. Even those who doesn't have the required knowledge to engage in preaching, there are preachers all over the places today, particularly with the access to social media. You see everybody going live on Facebook, going live on Instagram, giving fatwa, preaching. Everybody is a preacher. But look at our situation. The real scholars, those who have the required knowledge, the required prerequisite to engage in preaching, we have access to a lot of preaching via social media, via satellite networks, and the like. But look at how we are today. Look at our attitude. When you juxtapose the volume of preaching that is available to us today with our reality, you will see that the preaching seems not to have that much impact on people. It seems not to have that much impact on people. This is Fadlu Kifani. That is, even with the prevalence of the act of preaching, look at how we are. Now close your eyes and imagine that there are no preachers. Nobody preaches to anyone. Nobody preaches. Nobody engages in the act of reminding others, no, this is wrong, this is right, no, it is haram for you to treat your wife like this, it is haram for you to abandon your children, it is haram for you not to discharge your responsibility. No, this is compulsory upon you. Allah is going to hold you responsible. Close your eyes and imagine that nobody does that. Nobody is engaged in that. And imagine how this world is going to turn to. With the prevalence of preaching and preachers, look at how we are. So if you don't imagine that there are no preachers at all, nobody calls people to the fear of Allah. No Friday sermons, no circle of knowledge, no gathering of the fear, nothing. Definitely what is going to happen is that the hearts are going to decay. Even with this reality, preaching has gone a long way in reforming a lot of people. And that is why this is the reality we are witnessing today. Because supposing there are no preachers, there is no preaching, the situation will have been worse than what we are seeing today. So scholars say it is what we call fardun kifai. It is compulsory upon the ummah that they engage in al-amr bil ma'ruf wal nahy anil munkar. Ad-da'wa ila al-khayr wal amr bil ma'ruf wal nahy anil munkar. Inviting people to righteousness, enjoining them to do good, and forbidding for them that which is wrong. It is compulsory on each and every individual in this ummah to do that. But if you have sufficient number of people representing the ummah in that aspect, it becomes fardun kifai. But with a precondition. You don't call it fardun kifai. That is an obligation that can be suspended on the rest of the ummah because a sufficient number of people among the ummah have what? Have represented them. Like Salatul Janaza. If anyone dies anywhere on earth, it is compulsory upon me. If a Muslim dies in America, for example, it is compulsory upon me in Nigeria, in Kefi, that person, religious rights be taken care of. Although I am in Kefi. But if Muslims in America shoulder that responsibility, then that obligation is obliged from me. But if nobody does that, then we all contribute in sin. The same thing applies to preaching. It is compulsory upon all of us to engage in it. But if you have sufficient number of people doing it, but it is with the precondition that the number of people doing it must be what? Must be sufficient. That is why it is called kifai. Aitifaya. They are sufficient. They suffice. The number is adequate. They will engage in the act of inviting people to the good, inviting them to righteousness, enjoining them to do good, forbidding them from doing wrong. Allah says those who are going to engage in that are the successful ones. They are the successful ones. That is what we call al-hizbah. The act of hizbah is al-amru bil-ma'ruf wal-nahyu and his mother. That aspect is compulsory on everyone without exemption. Because of the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, man khitabun lil-uqala. Nobody is exempted. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi fa'in lam yastati' fabilisanihi fa'in lam yastati' fabiqalbihi. وَذَٰلِكَ أَدْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever amongst you sees al-munkar, sees, witnesses a wrong, whosoever, regardless of whether you are a scholar, whether you are a student of knowledge, whether you are a clergy, regardless of all those nomenclatures, the question is whether you have witnessed a wrongdoing, something that is wrong. Automatically it becomes compulsory upon you to apply one of three measures. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. That you use your authority to change it. In your place of work, for example, in a place where you are the overall head, and people engage in all sorts of wrong things, and you close your eyes as if you didn't see it, Allah is going to ask you about that. If you see anything wrong, you discover, you notice that your staff or those juniors working under you are engaged in some sort of sinful act. Or a superior is overreaching some junior staff because they cannot protest, they cannot ask for their rights. Look at what is happening in the military and police. These people you see on the road, whenever I come to a checkpoint and I have the opportunity of talking to them, after exchanging pleasantries, I will tell them that we are happy whenever we come passing through any road and we see you people, we are happy because we have peace of mind, we have some sort of tranquility that this place, particularly this area where you are, is safe. We thank you for what you are offering as sacrifice to protect us. That is one of the most important and useful jobs someone can engage in. Being a security personnel, sacrificing your life, putting your life on the line to protect uncountable people you don't even know, people you have never came into contact with, people you are not related to, people that doesn't belong to your religion, they don't belong to your tribe, you don't know them, and you don't even care about knowing them. By virtue of your calling, you are there to secure everybody. Is that not one of the best jobs that someone, a human being, should be proud of engaging in? But look at how they have bastardized it. Someone who is on that street, is entitled to 5,000 naira per day. If you go and inquire officially what that person is entitled to, if it is 5,000 naira per day, you will go and discover that what they are being given is not more than 1,500 naira. Where is the 3,500 naira? Times all the numbers of the security personnel that are being placed on the checkpoints. Those amounts of money runs into millions. Does the person at the top wants to claim that he doesn't know or is not aware? The same thing applies to the police. Sometimes it depends. Their approach, if you observe, their approach to people depends. Some people, when you approach them, if they discover that this one is likely to be a nobody, maybe by virtue of the type of car, by virtue of whatever they have there, because they've been on road for years, so they know. So when you approach, when they look at you and you are likely to be somebody, and if they maltreat you, you are likely to put them in trouble. They will now, they will treat you, they will give you what they call the VIP treatment. Welcome, sir. How are you doing? Augusta, see your boys. So sometimes they will tell you, Augusta, please, you see that car? There is no fuel in it. Help us, we want to buy fuel. They will tell you. Apart from that, they engage in extorting people. Sometimes nobody sends them out to go and mount a checkpoint on that road. So nobody is checkmating them. Nobody is even aware that they are there. All these atrocities that are being committed. Sometimes because of 20 naira, 15 naira, they kill innocent citizens. That person at the top, does he want to claim that he is not aware of this? He is not aware that innocent citizens are being extorted? Is not aware that those people who are being sent to mount roadblocks, checkpoints, he wants to claim that he is not aware. Is there a Nigerian that is not aware of that? Is there a Nigerian that is not aware of that? He wants to claim that he is not aware of the fact that those people on the checkpoint are not being given their entitlement. And by virtue of the law regulating those services, they are not entitled to protect. You can imagine. You cannot even protest. You cannot ask for your right. Whenever you are, if you don't want to keep quiet, you resign. And after you must have resigned, you still continue to keep quiet till the end of your life. Even after you have resigned, you still have to what? You still have to keep quiet. That is the highest level of injustice. And you expect that we have security when those people who are supposed to be manning the security, those people who are having direct contact with innocent citizens, are being deprived, they are being deprived of their entitlement. فَلِغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ In such situation, if you are the Inspector General of Police, you are in the situation of someone who would use his authority to change those things. But they will come successively, one after the other, one after the other. The other day when this new IG was appointed, I was asking a question on social media as to when he is going to read the usual, all checkpoints should be dismantled. All of them, every IG. That is why you will now ask the question as to whether the Inspector General of Police successively, whether they are in control of the police formation in the country. You see an IG after his appointment, it's like there is this statement that is there for each and every one of them to come and read. They will read that all checkpoints are hereby banned, all this, all that. The next day, or that very day when he read that, when he did that press conference, you will still be passing by and you will see a checkpoint of police. You see police checkpoints. Sometimes I was traveling and there was a checkpoint along this Lokoja Obajana. So they were stopping cars. So they stopped a car, like a taxi services car that was in front of us. They stopped him. So we had to slow down. They stopped us. We all parked. There is an elderly man in that taxi as a passenger. When they stopped them and they came down, he said, he was talking to the police. He said, didn't the IG say they should remove all the checkpoints? The police was very he was angry. He said, okay, so you are the one conveying to us what the IG said, Abi. Okay, just park well first. You want to tell us what the IG said? So they were angry, and that is the truth. Didn't the IG say that? Didn't he say that? The IG said that, and you are still here. Although he just said that just a few days ago, and you are here. And there has not been a counter a press conference to the effect that those checkpoints should resume. He said they are hereby banned completely. Yes. Yes. But yet, what you see is the contrary. فَلِيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ You change it with your what? With your authority. Whosoever, you are in the position of authority, something is going wrong, you are not changing it, Allah is going to ask you. Allah is going to ask you. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَقِ You may not be in the position of authority, you cannot change it, you cannot issue a circular that from today on, nobody should do this, do that, and forthwith. You cannot do that. You are not in an authority to do that. But you know that something is wrong here. What is happening here is wrong. You can, the next stage is for you to use your what? Your tongue. You admonish. You draw the attention of those concerned. Using the best approach. So that the message will be adequately conveyed and it will be accepted. Because your aim is that your message be accepted when you approach people because you want to draw their attention to what they are doing which is wrong and you want them to change that situation, then you use the best approach. There are situations where you may not be able to even speak. That is the second stage. Then you now go to the last stage. If you speak, you are likely to be hurt. You are not in a position to speak. What you do in the circumstance is that you فَلِيُغَيُّرُهُ فَبِقَلْبِهِ Then you use your what? You use your heart. You use your mind. How do you use your mind to change a bad thing? By you hating that wrong thing that is happening, and you are not in the position of authority to change it, and you are not even in the position to speak about it. Yes, there are situations where you know that, yes, this is wrong. This is wrong. But you cannot change it because you are not in the position of authority. And at the same time, it is not safe for you to what? For you to speak about it. There are situations where such happens. It is not even safe for you to even talk about it. Like that of like the elderly man I just spoke about. You see that by saying that didn't the IG instruct that you vacate the road? You know he has a that is double problem for him now. That is double. Now they will now engage in trying to know whether his tires have expired. That is the work of road safety. Whether his tire has expired, whether he has brake light, whether he has headlight, whether all those things that has nothing to do with police. Just because he what? he spoke. That is why sometimes wisdom implies that you don't what? You don't even speak for your own safety. Wisdom implies that you just hate the fact that this is happening. You cannot change it, and you cannot what? You cannot even speak about it. Then scholars said, in addition to you hating it, disliking it, with your mind, you are also to what? It is expected that you leave that place where that wrong thing is being done. You don't sit with people, you don't be in the company of people who are engaged in something that is sinful. And you don't have the authority to stop them. You cannot speak about it, and you remain with what? You remain with them. You continue to be in their company. Then you are likely to be punished alongside those people if the punishment and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befalls them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. If we engage in the act of al-amr al-ma'ruf wal-nahi al-munkar, a lot of simple things that we see in the society will diminish with government. If we admonish ourselves, you see, corruption that happens in institutions, before it materializes, you see that it will involve a chain of what? Chain of actors. In most cases, this look, that is why if you look the procedures, the bottlenecks, the procedures, a lot of things will have to pass through before it gets to the final stage and it is approved. You sit down and imagine, so how is it that these people succeed in stealing? If it will have to go through this person for approval, this person for approval, that person for approval, that person for approval, then the final approval. And they are still stealing. Meaning all the stages is passed through. All the people in those places is passed through. They are also what? Beneficiaries. They are also beneficiaries. What is happening today? You look at they sit down in a place where they call Federal Executive Council. Where they call Federal Executive Council every Wednesday. And after that meeting, what you hear is that they have approved budgets of so billions, hundreds of billions, hundreds of billions, hundreds of billions. And after 10, 15 years, you don't see those projects on ground. What happened? And you will see that those monies has been what? Has been taken out. But those projects in reality are not there. Because the person awarding the contract is the contractor. So tell me, who's supervising the contractor now? And I have the responsibility to make sure that the contract is what? Executed. So tell me, how do you think that contract is going? And even when the contractor is an independent person, before they give you that contract, you pay them up front. You pay them up front. That is a measure of protecting themselves. You don't pay them from the source. You pay them up front. If the contract is 5 billion, you are likely to pay them 2.5 billion. And you want to execute the contract and also make some profit. Now you have paid 2.5 billion out of the contract of how much? Of 5 billion. Remaining how much? 2.5. By the time you have been paid that 5 billion, in reality, what you were paid in reality is how much? Is 2.5 billion. For a project that will cost about 4 point something billion, so that your profit margin will fall in the last 1 billion. These are things that are mathematically calculated to the extent that the profit of the contractor can be stated completely, that we know that this contractor cannot make more than so amount of profit. Because you have quantities of areas, you have all sorts of statisticians that will have to go through those money. He comes and clears the roads, bring red sand so that the poor citizens living in that area for the next 3 years will be sniffing in red sand. All the houses will become red. And the person in charge cannot ask him, why is this contract still lying there? without being executed. You cannot ask because you know that you collected half of the money of what? The contractor also won't be bothered. He will just be, because he has taken what will suffice him. And just if it is just 500 million, he thinks he wants to spend, he spends it and go his way. You cannot ask him. If any time you ask him, say, "Oh, guy, you know I have evidence of payment of 5 billion, you keep quiet. "Oh, guy, don't forget I have evidence of payment of 2.5 billion. Then the person keeps quiet. And the next thing is how to manipulate the file. How many contracts are there that was awarded, money has been given? They award the contract, they didn't execute it, they took the money, they re-award the contract. Is that not the country where we are? We celebrate thieves. Now look at what is happening in the, what is it called? In the political sector. Recently, the party which we thought were sent, the presidential fund, indication of interest, indication of whatever nonsense, if you sum it up together, it gives you 100 million. I read someone was saying that if you calculate all together, the salary and the allowances of the president for 4 years is about 56 million. That how would someone apply for a job of 56 million, but for you to apply for that job, you have to buy a form of 100 million. Haven't we institutionalized corruption? I want a job that after 4 years, if I didn't cut anything out of my salary, the total sum of money I will be getting from that job is 56 million. But for me to get that job, I will buy a form for 100 million. Am I not a thief? Yes, there is no two other names. Sometimes back I was in a court and I said about somebody that what this person has done is a clear theft. And the person was angry. I said, "My lord, as far as I'm concerned, this has no other name. This is theft." The person got angered again. I said, "But what other name can you name this? It is not theft. If someone is buying a 100 million naira form, 100 million naira form for a job which he's only going to be paid 56 million naira after 4 years. Within the span of 4 years, the name of that person is a thief. Regardless of whether he's a thief, whether he's Tinubu, whether he's whatever nonsense. That person's name is a thief. Because who does that? Who engages? Can you invest 100 million to get 56 million after 4 years? Can someone do that other than a madman? So you need not be told that this person is going there to make billions. The person is going there to make billions. And that is just a starting point. When you pay 100 million naira, you are going to spend more than 5 billion. If at the end of the day you are given the ticket. Because you go campaigning in the nooks and crannies of this country using private jets all over the places. How much do you think that is going to cost? Just for you to, you now want to tell me that why you are doing that is for you to be paid 56 million. That's why you are spending billions to get there. That is why this system, if we want to be sincere to ourselves, does not suit us. It doesn't suit us. It doesn't. What suits us, some of us may know it. I know it, but I'm not going to say it on the microphone. But we all know that this system does not what? It doesn't suit us. So that someone will not go and say, "I am calling for a coup." But this system does not suit us. Wallahi, it doesn't. Just very few individuals who is squandering the wealth of the... Go to our villages and see innocent people suffering. Water, this common water people cannot accept. Go and look at the water people are drinking in villages. Some years back, there was this BBC commentary. They went to a village in, was it in Chebbi, where they will have to throw, what is it called? A very long rope into a well, a very deep well. Then you cannot draw it, the normal drawing from well. You have to tie it to the leg of a camel. then the camel will go greet us, drawing the, then after the water comes out, it's brownish. That is the only water they have access to. In a country where its leaders squandered billions, how much did Dari steal? How much did Inyani steal? EFCC investigated these people. They spent how many years? 11 years prosecuting them, from trial court to Supreme Court. Just in a gathering under AC, in a meeting of 1 hour 30 minutes, they were released. Okay, what about those petty thieves in the prison? Some of them just stole 50,000, 10,000. Some of them stole goods. They are in the prisons. You are releasing some people that stole as a result of that stealing of billions. Do you know how many people have died because there is no good hospital in their vicinity? Do you know how many pregnant women died in the course of giving birth because there is no adequate facility? Because that one person whom you have just cleansed now, meaning Dari can contest election, meaning Inyani can contest election, and we Nigerians, we are not yet ready to free ourselves from this. Wallahi, we are not ready. We are not yet ready. Because the next thing, wait for the season to approach. It has started approaching. The next thing is that we'll be divided along religious or tribal lines. And they know how to play it together. They know the politicians, they know very well how to play that. The next thing, it will be okay. Yes, Tinubu, although we said that, Atiku, although we said this about him, although we know this about him, although we know this, we know that about him. Okay, if there are the only two options, and why should they be the only two options? As though our faculty of thinking has been customized and fixed towards just those two parties. Can't we? In the whole of this country, a country of more than 200 million citizens, there is no responsible human being. Do you believe that there is nobody that would be responsible enough to come and do the right thing? To come and do the right thing? Electricity, water, good roads? For how many years? This same set of human beings will come back to you to use this as their agenda. I was in a lecture, was it 2 weeks back? I said, why can't we start something locally? Let's start from local government. Must it be that person and that person, and must it be that party? You know, they know what they are doing, and that is why everybody is crumbling. And even try, look at the intra-party gimmick that is going on now. Intra-party, just within the party. Look at how they are exposing themselves. That is the first thing. It will now come to inter-party, party to party now. This is internal now. Look at a lot of things that they are saying about themselves. A lot of things that they are writing about themselves. Why is it that all of them want to be in either this party or that party? If they defect, it's either from this party to that party or from that party to this party. And it just seems as if we have been remote controlled. We the citizens are also just waiting for either this party or that party, and there are a lot of other parties. So do we need to be told that that person that bought, that is buying, whether from APC, if you want to be a governor, you have to buy for, is it 50 million or 20 something million or 40 something million before you become a governor? So, and you are not even sure that you are going to be given the ticket of the party, and you think a day will come, if we continue like this, you think a day will come when the situation is going to change? I doubt, wallahi, I doubt. I doubt, because Allah doesn't change the situation of a group of people until what? Until they change their attitude. We are not ready to change our attitude. Must it be someone that bought a form of 100 million that we are going to vote for president? Let's vote one someone that bought a form of 5,000 naira in a party that is unknown, let's come together, rally around that person. Let's do away with this. You see this set of people, these 65, 70 years old, 72, 75 years old, that have been there since independence. Wallahi, until we are able to do away with them, then not even us, our children are going to suffer. So it is the responsibility of each and every one of us, even as it is today. If we are going to take the responsibility, each and every individual in his position of authority, each and every individual on the street, each and every individual in the office, each and every individual in the market, each and every individual wherever you find yourself, you see something that is wrong, admonish people that no, this is wrong. This is wrong. Why are you doing this? This is going to harm others. This is wrong. Don't close your eyes when you see things that are wrong. When you see these things that are wrong, the Messenger of Allah says, "Marra aminkum, whosoever amongst you, without exemption, see something that is wrong, change it. If you are in the position of authority, give an order. If you cannot, admonish, use your tongue, speak about it. If you cannot, you have to hate it with your mind, and you have to also what? Distance yourself from where it is being what? It is being done." الله سبحانه وتعالى says ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا نعم
ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم
and do not be ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءتهم من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم. Do not be like those الذين تفرقوا. Those who differed. واختلفوا. تفرقوا. They disintegrated. واختلفوا and they differed. They did not split into groups. They did not differ in opinion until after مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ after clear proofs had come to them. So they splitted into groups. Ya Rabbi Allah, is that not the likeness of the situation we are in today? We have the clear proofs. We have the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about look at the disintegration. And Allah says we should not be like them. Those who disintegrated split into many groups. And they did that after clear proofs. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for those who disintegrated, they splitted into many groups, they differed in their opinion, although there are clear proofs before them in form of scripture and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they will be entitled to a great punishment. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ They will be entitled to a great punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ
يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ ابْيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق وما الله يريد ظلما للعالمين
الله سبحانه وتعالى says يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه The way some faces are going to turn white. What that's what do we do? And some faces are going to turn black. Weed is one of those things that are going to happen on the day of resurrection. Faces of some people are going to turn white, while the faces of others are going to turn black. The faces of those that are going to turn white are the faces of the successful ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among them. Those who held onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who abided by the dues of Allah. Do it, they did. Don't do it, they abstained. You know that is not as easy as faith. That when Allah says do it, they do. When Allah says don't, they abstain. Practically, is not as easy as faith. Because the hellfire is covered with attractive things, attractive sinful things. So for you to abstain from the don'ts of Allah, you need to engage in a lot of patience and perseverance. Because you see things happening around you. People have attained a lot of wealth. They have accumulated a lot of wealth through the means of haram. You know it. You also have access to that means. But you remember the day that you are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give account. Then you abstain. Whenever you see a flashy car, you know the owner, you know how he got it. Because you are on the same level in the office, you work together, you have the same qualification, you earn the same salary. But how is he doing that? Without any external business? Without alternative source of income? You know the source. If you wanted to do the same, you would be able to do it. You have access to it. But you just close your eyes and exercise patience. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. But for those who fear the day they are going to stand before Allah, just remember that a day will come. No matter how much you might have accumulated of wealth in this dunya, have you ever seen someone? Someone died, day before yesterday? The Alafi of Oyo. One of his attributes is one of those things they call him is that he is death himself. Himself is death, the son of death. So therefore, death cannot take him. But he was taken yesterday. He was taken on Friday. That he is death, the son of death. So if someone is death himself, the son of death, so can you imagine that person dying? He has died. He marries young wives, young women. He left seven wives, and claiming to be a Muslim. Although yesterday it was confirmed that he was never one. He was never a Muslim. He was a pure idol worshiper. Yes, because there are a lot of write-offs now going on that. Why did that imam even that? Some people are saying the imam is likely not to be aware, because after the Salatul Janazah, his people took over the dead body. That is the sangos, they took over the dead body. So that one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to declare where he belongs on the day of Qiyamah. You can't be a believer and at the same time a disbeliever. You can only be here or there. It is not possible. That is hypocrisy. You cannot claim to be a believer. You believe in Allah, and at the same time, you've joined them to worship idols. They even said there are videos flying around in the social media platforms where they saw him worshipping those things that people worship, other than Allah. So no matter how much you might have accumulated, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ, he fears the day he is going to stand before Allah. Then he denied himself, he prohibited himself from following the whims and caprices of the act. You know, your mind will be telling you, you are still young, you can do this, you can do that, enjoy your life. When you grow gray hairs, you can now repent, and as though you have been promised by Allah that Allah is going to elongate your life and you are going to stay alive for how long. But when you fear the time you are going to, the day you are going to stand before Allah, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, fear the day you are going to be returned to Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, one of those things that are going to happen is that the faces of some people are going to be turned white, while the faces of others are going to be turned black. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from our faces being turned black. Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ اسْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُمْ, but as for those whose faces are going to be turned black, it will be said to them, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ, did you disbelieve after you have believed? Did you disbelieve after you have believed? فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, so taste the punishment for what you used to disbelieve in. Those are the disbelievers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness on iman until the time we return to Him. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَبْدَتْ وُجُوهُمْ, but for those whose faces are going to be turned white, فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, those are going to be in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala count us among them. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they are going to remain, they are going to abide in the mercy of Allah eternally. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ, those are the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we recite upon you with the truth. We recite those verses upon you, O Muhammad, in truth. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ذُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want injustice for His creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be just, is going to be fair to each and every creator on the day of resurrection. If you do good, you are going to find good. If you do bad, you are going to find bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be unjust to anyone. You are going to be rewarded for just that which you did in this dunya. So ask yourself, whenever you are engaged in anything, is this good? Is this good? If it is good, go ahead. Whenever you are engaged in anything, ask yourself, is this wrong? Is this righteous? Is this evil? If it is evil and unrighteousness, then you abstain from it. This is the yardstick with which a believer leads a good life that will assist him in attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our acts of worship. We are going to stop here, bi-ithnillah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Finally,
yes.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. There is no doubt that whosoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spared his life or her life to witness this period of Ramadan, Allah has indeed bestowed upon him or her a very huge bounty, a very huge ni'mah. What is the essence? What is the essence? Is a period of time for you to rediscover yourself. For you to rediscover yourself, for you to upgrade your iman, for you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this is the 23rd day of Ramadan. For 23 days you've been fasting. You have discovered that you can be watchful of Allah even when nobody is seeing you. Because how many opportunities have you gotten when you are in seclusion and nobody is seeing you? But you did not break the fasting in secret. That is to say, even after Ramadan, you are capable of being watchful of Allah and abstaining from sinful acts even if nobody is watching you. That is why I said the month of Ramadan is a month that makes you to rediscover yourself. It makes you to rediscover your ability to particularly spiritually by being able to abstain from all those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made unlawful. It is also an opportunity for you to know that how those who cannot afford to feed themselves, how they feel. There are some of us that doesn't engage in siyam nawafil, in non-obligatory fasting. But during the month of Ramadan, you will know that managing hunger is not easy. And that will assist you, it will help you to start thinking of the needy, to start thinking of the poor. Whenever you see someone that is in need, the fact that you have tasted 30 days of abstaining from eating and drinking will assist you, will go a long way in helping you, in assisting you, in making it possible for you to help the needy. Spiritually, you have been upgraded. This is one of the virtues of the month of Ramadan. And if you look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to end this month, you will discover that it is virtually, Allah is indirectly telling us that as you are going out of Ramadan, go out as generous human beings. And that is why we have what we call sadaqatul fitr. What you use to mark the end of Ramadan is by giving out in what? In charity. And while giving out in charity, nobody is what? Is exempted. Look at the wisdom of Allah. While giving out in charity, the criteria with which you will be exempted is whether you have what to eat today. If you have what to eat on Shallah Day, then it is compulsory upon you to give out the surplus. Ya subhanallah. On each and every one of us, regardless of whether you are wealthy, whether you are poor, whether you are rich, no. The question is, are you a fasting fellow? You give out for yourself, for your wife, if she's not capable of giving out, for your children, if they are not capable of giving out, for your younger ones. So each and every individual in the society of part of this ummah is expected to give out to the needy on the day you are ending your what? Your fasting. That is what the Sharia of Allah says you should use to end your fasting. And what is that teaching you? Saying, as you are going out of this month, go out and be generous to the whole world. Go out and help the needy. Go out and extend your hands to those who cannot afford to feed themselves, for those who cannot afford to clothe themselves, for those who cannot afford to take care of themselves. That is what the month of Ramadan is what? Is teaching you. And that is why Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you might be pious. It is piety. Because if you are giving out money, and when you give out the money, something was given back to you in return. What have you done differently? You have not done anything differently because you have received something in return. It differs from a situation whereby you have given out and Allah says, I'm going to reward you for that which you have given out. Somebody who is not pious cannot what? Cannot do that. You give out money and Allah says, just go. Don't wait for anything in return. I'm going to give you the return. Where? In the heavens. I'm going to reward you. Those are the signs. Allah says, I have made fasting obligatory upon you so that you will be what? You will be pious. Secondly, for our youth, we are approaching the political season. I am thinking as Nigerian, there shouldn't be a Nigerian youth 18 and above that should, as of now, be foolish again. We should not be fooled again by now that a politician whose children are residing in overseas. You see, these are two strikes. It is only the children of the poor that are suffering it all. As I am here seated, if Allah blesses me, my child will not go to university in Nigeria. May Allah bless you so that your child will not go to university in Nigeria. But we have to work hard to change our own. Those countries we are taking our children to go and study, are they not human beings? Let's sacrifice. Our problem is that nobody is ready to sacrifice. Nobody is ready to sacrifice. None of that. When the strike is on, they are not even shameful. They don't have shame. Like I've said, that there is, I've never seen a set of people that have that. You see, you know how we fold masks. They will fold their shame. Politicians, that's how they fold their shame. After folding it completely, they throw it away. That is what politicians do. So they don't have shame. When ASUU strike is going on, a minister of education will go to London to go and celebrate the graduation of his child and take pictures, and the pictures is all over the place. Does that person have shame? A minister in the government will go to London to go and celebrate while the country wherein you are a minister, wherein you are a governor, wherein you are a president, the university system is what? Has collapsed. Your children, and you still come back to these people and tell them we are leaders and vote for us again. Vote for us again. So youth should not allow themselves to be used by politicians, because it is going to be a double jeopardy for the poor ones, for the innocent citizens. When these youth present themselves as tools in the hands of politicians, what happens? What happens? The what you see next is conflict and violence, and who bears the brunt? Who? Innocent masses. People who are battling with how to feed. People who are battling to survive, they're still going to bear the brunt. After youth have presented themselves as cheap as whatever, to be used by the politicians. So youth, my call to the youth is that we should come back to our senses. There is nothing wrong. Yes, in fact, we are encouraging youth that let you join politics. Let's go into these political parties. Let's loot the political parties so that we might flush out this generation that have been disappointing us continuously. Let's go to political parties, but let's not be political thugs. If they want thugs, they should use their children. No youth should present himself and allow him or herself to be used to bring discomfort to the masses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose for us good leaders. This is a time where when Allah answers prayers, may Allah answer our prayer and choose for us good leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our act of worship. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah.
Yes, I appreciate that. I want the message to go out. Yes. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thank you. So if there are questions, we can now accommodate questions.
Sorry, we forgot to give a paper for questions. So the room is open for everybody to ask questions.
Amin, Ya Rabbi. With respect to Laylatul Qadr. It's the whole night, right from sunset till Fajr. Right from sunset till Fajr is the whole night. Yes, it's not a particular hour. It's the whole night. Once it is Laylatul Qadr, then every minute of that night should not be should not be played with. It is the whole night, throughout the night. Yes. Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum salam.
My
name
is one particular ayah. Though the ayah is said in English, but I want to stretch it more again to my understanding. In the ayah, there was coming to the Lord. And it is more. Yes, the scope of force is generally which is
cautious. Yes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the situation of a people until they change what is with them. Until they change themselves, then Allah is going to what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to change their situation. And this is the tradition of Allah. This is the tradition of Allah with His creatures. That is the tradition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes the situation, so like someone who has been sinful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been committing sin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has refused to change, then by virtue of those sinful acts, calamity befalls him or her. And the person wants the calamity uplifted but without changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to change it. But if the person returns to Allah in repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and changes the situation. And don't forget that the sinful acts, as I've always said, that each and every one of us need to return to Allah and repent. Because it might be the sinful act of one individual that will be the cause of the calamity of an entire community. Like it happened during the time of Nabiullah Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam. There is this a particular troop of soldiers that we aim at destroying the Kaaba and the end of time. They are in a very huge army. They will aim at destroying the Kaaba. Then the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned them and said that until they get to a bare land, a very large bare land, then Allah is going to destroy all of them from the beginning of the troop to the end. Then Aisha inquired. Aisha said, "Ya Rasulullah," he said, "Allah is going to destroy all of them." Okay, what about those that might be among them but does not have the intention? In fact, there are some people that don't even know where these people are going to. But Allah is going to destroy them altogether. There may be some people that what brought them was because they see a very huge number of people and they have things to sell, food, water, and they brought it so that they may sell it to these people. Then the destruction came and it destroyed everybody. The message of Allah says, Allah is going to destroy min awwalihim ila akhirihim. Then on the day of resurrection, Allah is going to resurrect each and every one of them ala niyatihim, on their intention. So whether these people like it or not, the sinful act of those people has affected them or not. It brought destruction to them. It brought destruction to them. So, and even commonsensically, if let's suppose we don't have a verse of the Quran that says Allah does not change our situation until we change ourselves. As people who can think, you can't be doing the same something the same way repeatedly and you expect to get a different one. Different result. It is time we change. And you know, this change cannot happen. It cannot happen the way we are. Like I'm saying it here, another person is saying it there. I've had preachers in other places also saying the likeness of what I have been saying always. But does it suffice that we just say it and it's fast? Does it suffice? It does not suffice. It's just our own contribution that we reawaken listeners. If Allah wills, someone may take may bring up an initiative. Someone may bring up an initiative. I advised a few weeks back in one of my lectures that why can't we we were in a gathering of MSS, and I said, why can't we use MSS as a platform, for example? How many members of MSS do we have? We have them in hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. We can use MSS. Before Professor Fodio came up and said, MSS registered a political party. That there is a registered political party which was spearheaded by MSS. But what are we doing? It may not be MSS. No, let's initiate something. At this local level, let's start with councillors. A party that is registered with required documents, with INEC, let's sponsor a candidate for councillorship. Rally around that candidate. He wins. Let's start expanding. If it is one local government we can get hold of under one party that is known as NNN, this local government, under another political party, some other people to whom we have sold the same idea, because we are getting the results here. We've gotten a chairman that cares. Look at what is happening in our country. You see, you hear the news of people being killed. And even statements for a governor to issue statements. Because life of human beings, for Nigerians to die, to our leaders is nothing. Go to Europe and you see just someone that is carrying the cat of a country, a Nigerian carrying American cat. I once learned someone traveled, a Nigerian traveled to, is it Iran or Afghanistan? His child with whom he traveled, his child is an American. That is, the child is an American. But the father is not an... You know what Nigerians do now? When your wife is pregnant, you go and struggle for visa so that she gives birth, as though the American passport is a certificate to the paradise. And someone will be bragging, all my children, Muhammad is a UK citizen, Abdullah is an American citizen, and so what? So the child is an American citizen, but the father is not. So they traveled with his wife and the child. And 24 hours after they lodged into a hotel, from the embassy, American embassy of that country, came to that hotel and sought audience with the guy, with the man. And they told him that, what is he doing in this vicinity? This is not a safe country. He shouldn't forget that he is carrying an American citizen. A Nigerian, because he was given birth to in America. That is how much they value the life of their what? Of their citizens. Nigerians. And that is why, wallahi, we have a lot of serious challenges ahead of us. You see our military personnel, our police, our whatever. The attitude, the body language of the government has completely discouraged them. They have uncountable numbers of their colleagues that were killed on the battlefield, and their families were abandoned. Some of them, their families were chased out of the barracks. Some of them, up till now, after 3-4 years, after being killed, they cannot access what their dead father is entitled to. These guys here have seen their own colleagues, their own friends, whose family were humiliated. How do you think this person will now have the zeal to go and place his own life on the line? The body language of the government. This is a job that is very dangerous. It is your life. Your life. But the welfare, if you are sure that if I die protecting innocent people, my family, I've seen 500 people whose family are being well taken care of because they sacrificed their life for this country. I may not be hesitating to also help the country because I'm not afraid that, okay, my child is still at a tender age. If I die, who takes care of him? Because I know that the government is going to what? It's going to take care of them. It's going to take my family. I'm not going to, it's going to be humiliated. I will have the courage. But the body language of the government, these people are being maltreated, they are being short-changed, they don't give them their entitlement, they are on the battlefield, they are entitled to, if someone is on the battlefield and is entitled to 20,000 naira per day, those are incentives. Because that is human being. Human beings, we take risks to earn what? To earn money. On daily basis, we take risks. We endanger our life, hoping that yes, the danger, although there is 25% possibility of danger happening, but inshallah it's not going to happen to us. We endanger our life, we earn money, we come back. So would you give incentive to those people who are on the battlefield, that on each day that you are on the battlefield, you have an allowance of 50,000 naira, for example. And he knows that his allowance officially is 50,000 naira, but what you give him is 5,000 naira. And we want to say that nobody knows. Do we want to believe that nobody knows that that is happening? And you want us to get the required results? You want them to go and face the bandits and the terrorists because of 5,000 naira per day, having known that what they are entitled to is 50,000 naira per day? So what type of life are we leading? So are we supposed to continue like this? So we really need to sacrifice. A brother, what is his name? Such brother for me. What is his name? That brother we were rallying around some time back.
Adamu Gerba.
One Adamu Gerba from Adamawa State. He is based in Lagos. He's an IT person. When he indicated interest in running for the presidency, one way or the other, I was connected, and we went. We were there with this brother and with people from all over other places. Although it was a trial, because you have to, you can't get it on just one day. Now you will be trying. Or you start from somewhere, then you climb gradually. Now the form he cannot afford. He cannot afford the phone. You know, when he tried the other time, at least he will be a known face now that this young boy bought our phone. He is indicating interest to be a president. The people will know him gradually, you know. You know, some of them, they've been trying to be governor now for more than 15 years. Some of them became governor after 20 years from their first trial. They never stopped trying, and they became. So when you try. But now, he has automatically been screened out himself and whoever is having such kind of a thinking. 100 million naira for you to get the form. So participate in primaries before you come to the stage of buying delegates. We know you buy and sell human beings. That is a new form of slavery. You buy delegates. Delegates, you buy them, you pay them. Each and every candidate will pay them. That is their own season. They will collect, that delegate who has collected 5 million from that aspirant, it will stop him from collecting 5,000 from you. He will collect 5 million from that person who is buoyant, collect 1 million from that other person who is less buoyant, collect 50,000 from that person who cannot afford more than 50,000. He will collect from all of you and go and vote for the highest bidder. So, when are we going to get there? And you still believe we should wait for just these parties? Can't we bring up a platform where we give out form for a very minimal amount of money, and let's go to universities, look for these lecturers who knows what they are doing, and they are disciplined. Let's look for technocrats. Let's look for youth. Let's push them. We want to just sit down. What we do is this is my role that I can play. People have called me. I know that previous years people whom I don't even know that you have to participate in politics. But whenever I look at the terrain, I pack my shoes. Participate in what? It's a very rough terrain, but we still need people to what? To go and participate. We need people who are steadfast, who are disciplined. We that place needs to be penetrated, wallahi. We cannot remain like this. Let's go and look for a party that is lingering. Lingering. There are parties that don't even have branches here in Turkey. Let's bring up someone, rally around him. Rally around him. Someone that cares about the welfare of human beings. Someone that goes to the nooks and crannies of Turkey to know about their well-being. Do you have good water? Do you have when last did you get electricity? Is there any sick person that needs help? He visits the hospital to know what is happening there. He visits the DVO. He visits the area commander. Complains to them about the maltreatment people are encountering in the hands of police. He cares about people. That is leadership. Not you riding big cars at 001. Or flying jets all over the places. You are in Umrah, you snap, you do selfie, send it to social media, our governor is in Umrah, and so what? You are in Umrah and people are suffering here? This thinking needs to change. And we have to do something about it. Wallahi, if this is the only thing, talking, everybody is talking. Almost everybody is talking. Almost everybody that has a pulpit is talking. Sometimes I feel like going back to my social media postings and deleting them. The way someone defended this man that is here today. To the extent that you even go to people and try to make them understand that, don't you think this is the first person because of the situation we are in? But look at what we are getting. Look at the gift he is giving us before taking an exit. Releasing criminals. Is that how we are going to continue? We need to sacrifice. We need to sacrifice. Maybe some, those who are wealthy, it must not be that the person contesting is the person that has the money. It can be someone, an upright youth who has the prerequisites, has the credentials. It's not someone that if he gets there and starts absorbing AP for 1 week, he deletes all of us, forget about our advices. We are not going to do it because we want pecuniary. No, because we want you to go there and let's see change on the ground. And so that when we ask, who is the chairman of this place? No, he's allergic to so person. But why is it that his style is different? It's because he's a Muslim. Look at, I don't know whether it is true that in Borno now, nobody bought form for governorship. Even the opposition party. Nobody has bought form to contest. Nobody has bought form to contest. That is a species all other politicians doesn't want. Because he is exposing them. Borno with the crisis, with the whatever. Look at what, there is no local government he has not touched. And look at how he cares about the people. He don't just say, go and give people food and you go to sleep. He goes to monitor whether the food we're giving or not. Give them money. He goes to monitor and make sure. He goes to hospitals as early as 5 a.m. Where are the doctors on post, whether they are there or not. He goes to schools to see whether the teachers are there or not. So what is leadership? Is it just is it siren? You disturb people with, someone will come back around 3 a.m. and with siren, is that what madness? What's the essence? Who is on the road by 3 a.m. that you just covered the whole of the places with noise? So that we will be aware, those of us that are in the same street with you, will be aware that you have come back. That's why the fact that you are useless, you are not useful for nothing. 3 a.m. What is the essence of, please tell me, what is the essence of siren? 3 a.m. Who is on the road? What is it that you want to clear on the road that you have to use siren? Or is it that because you have come back to Kethi, all of us have to wake up? Is that leadership? So we have to, someone somewhere will have to, you know, have to as an obligation. Someone somewhere will have to stand up and initiate something and start something. If not. Allah understand. May Allah take care of us.
Well, in addition to explanation, I think one of the big problems we have in this country, 95% of the population, they are not interested in doing the right.
It's true.
95% of the population.
It's true.
People are interested in going through the court order.
It's true.
As you are saying now.
That is why we are our own problem, and that is why we have to change. That is how we have to change. Nobody wants to do the right thing. Nobody wants to do the right thing. The education sector, whatever, if you are a government employee, you still want to be paid for what, for the service you are rendering, and you are earning salary. So before you render that service for which you are earning salary, the beneficiary of that service, who is an innocent citizen, will have to what? Pay. So it has become, and that same person doing that will still be insulting who? The chairman, the president, the governor, thinking him, what he's doing is normal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. May Allah, this is a period where, when Allah accepts dua. One of those things we don't do is that we don't pray for Nigeria. I've discovered this since while we were students. When we were students in the university, you see everybody, every other citizen of all other countries speaks well of, about their countries except Nigerians. You see Malians, you see Somalis, you see, what do you call them, Kenyans, you see Tanzanians speaking well about their country. But Nigerians, sometimes where Nigerian students, they came together and said, but what is wrong with us? What is it that every other country says good things about themselves? But we don't say anything good about ourselves. We don't say anything good about our own country. So you see the citizenship and what it entails needs to be revised. The people have lost hope in how many people? A lot of people are saying, I'm not going to vote, I'm not interested, whatever they want to do. But is that the solution? It is not. That is you giving them automatic permission to continue to loot our commonwealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So you can never tell whose prayer Allah is going to answer. That's why whenever I'm praying, I will say, Allah, these ones that are there, put your fear in their mind. Because since they are the ones there, ya Allah, put your fears in their mind so that they will do the right thing. If you are choosing another one for us, ya Allah, choose the rightful one for us. So we have to really engage in prayers. So that we don't live in hell, and our children will come and inherit this type of livelihood of living in hell, and then our grandchildren. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose good leaders for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ask of us. We are in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and today is the 23rd. So we have to strive hard to make sure that we judiciously utilize the remaining 6 to 7 days of this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us the privilege of gathering in this place. This is going to mark the last session of the seer in this masjid till next year, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the privilege of being alive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong our lives on goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the privilege of meeting in Jannah of Firdaws al-A'la. Hadha subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.